You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you? We are Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller underscore Moulton on X.
Look at you.
I still like to say Twix, Twitter slash X, but today's a day of growth for me. It's X. It's no longer tweets. It's a post on X. I'm working on my vernacular. Trying to, you know, sound as if I'm with it. I'm not totally living in the past, even though I'm totally living in the past.
Except for the sports that you watch, David. Except for the sports that you watch.
That's true.
We may have old references, old movie references and things like that, but we're on top of the day's events, that's for sure.
And someone who has had a terrific past as a coach, but he's having a hell of a present, Donnie Jones, the head coach of the Hatters of Stetson. And they are going dancing next week for the first time. And the head coach is kind enough to join us. You can follow him on X at Donnie with an IE Jones. Coach, it's David and Mark. First off, congratulations. And secondly, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'm doing good. I'm sorry if my voice sounds so bad. It's because I've been doing a lot of talking, so it's all good.
I understand. All right, it's a cliche question, but obviously, when was the moment this week? Was it the night after the game? Was it the next day? Has it been a quiet morning in your office? When was the moment in which you went, I'll be damned we did it?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. It was when I walked in probably Monday morning into my office. The trophy and the net was sitting on my desk on the front of it. And when I opened up my door, and I was kind of like, wow, this is really happening. And even though you felt it in the moment, it was still like the next day. You woke up and you're kind of like, golly, this is really going on right now. This is incredible. So I would say the next day. It was reality.
Well, it wasn't easy. A nail biter with Austin Peay to get into the tournament. And throughout the A-Sun tournament, you guys were able to – the one thing about your team, you've been able to score some points.
Yeah, we can really score. You know, we got a lot of kids that are very talented offensively. You know, obviously, Jalen Blackman scored 43 points in the game. So, but yeah, we got a great group of guys, great guards, and, you know, very unselfish, too, with the way they play.
When did you know this year? Was it the win at UCF? Was it in camp in October? When was the first time you turned to your staff and you went, you know, I think we're pretty good?
You know what? I think the win at UCF was huge. I think really gave our team a lot of confidence. You know, we won this tournament in Daytona. Thought we'd beat two really good teams, Milwaukee, who lost in the finals of the Horizon here just the other day.
Right.
And a very good Central Michigan team that beat South Florida by 10 just previously a few days. And then we beat Charlotte. And I just thought, you know what? We've showed those moments where we can be really good. So I just think we kept building. We had some, you know, just little victories here and there. Never lost more than two in a row at one period. We always bounce back after a tough loss. So I really love the resiliency of this group.
And this is, you're a guard-led team. Talk about your guard play, not just the Thompson who scored all the points, but the guards have really carried this team, at least from the way I've read it, Coach.
Yeah, they really have. It starts with Stephon Swenson. You know, we're kind of like a hurry-up football offense. You know, we run a lot of plays. You know, we can play fast. Our pace is really fast. But, you know, we're an execution team, and it starts with him. He's the all-time leading assist leader here. At Stetson, scored over 1,000 points. As a kid, had come in with no scholarship offers. He's a point guard from Belgium. He's the tough. I'd say he's the heart and soul of our team. He's the tough one of us. Then obviously Jalen Blackman. Yeah, Jalen was a really highly recruited kid out of high school. Four-star player, went to Grand Canyon out of high school. Just didn't play a lot as a freshman, like most freshmen do not play. But he was the newcomer of the year last year, first team all conference. This year, you know, same thing, led our conference in scoring. I think he's fourth in the country in most points scored this year. This is a really terrific score. And then the other one's a kid we call AO, Alex Oaksby, 6'5", senior. And, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit for a lot of stuff. He's our best defender, but, you know, he's averaging almost 12 points a game. He's had some terrific games, but he's a terrific shooter and plays on both sides of the ball at a very high level.
You guys were great in close games this year. Not good, great. I think you're 4-0 in one-point games, including in the A-Sun semis. I think your record in games decided by 5 points or less. I think you may have only lost one game this year. You know, usually coaching gets a lot of credit for that, and I know you'll try to defer it. But, you know, what is it about, whether it's you, the staff, this group, why is it you think you were so good in tight games?
Yeah, you know, I think we had veteran leadership, one. You know, your guard plays are seniors and juniors. Those guys have been through the battles, and I think that's important. And, you know, I think, you know, we play you know, a lot of games. Games, we call short games, to 5 points. First 1 to 5, so it comes down to execution, getting stops and getting scores. That's constantly how we practice, because it's all about learning how to execute with your possessions. So I think with that, and, you know, we just got guys can make plays. I mean, you got a point guard that can create and make a play for others or himself. Stephon Swinson did against Jacksonville. It was time for him to score. Got 28 and hit a big shot, for us to win that game. And then Jalen Blackman takes over in another game. So I think we've just had a lot of versatility at the guard play.
What's practice been like this week with the excitement of winning the tournament and now the A-Sun, one of the first automatic qualifiers? There's a lot of time between now and Selection Sunday. So what's the week been like?
Yeah, it's a really strange week, to be honest about it. Especially from a coaching standpoint, we're used to preparing all week long for someone, but we don't know who to play except ourselves. So we've been really working on a lot of fundamental stuff, a lot of late game situations, because you're going to see most games come down to the stretch. And, it's just been a time for us to kind of recover. We took a couple days off. It was an emotional week. And then we came back, and obviously we've just been, kind of scrimmaging each other and really just trying to keep our rhythm and our timing together.
You're projected as a 16 seed, and there's two kinds of 16s, those that go to Dayton, and then those that go straight to the main draw, if you will. If, in fact, you're a 16, do you have a preference? Because, sometimes it's better to – you haven't played in a week, week and a half. Sometimes it's better, let's go to Dayton, let's win, and then let's go. Or, do you have a preference at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been asked that a lot. I don't. One, we're just happy to be in it. Two, if we did go to Dayton, obviously gives our chances a lot better to have a chance to get a NCAA win, regardless if it's a playing game. I coached at Dayton, so I know I have a lot of fans and friends there cheering us on, so that would be a little bit of a advantage. But if we have to play straight out UConn or Tennessee or whoever, we played Houston, number one team in the country to start the season at their place. That was a great experience for us. We're just happy, whoever it may be.
Obviously, we know now 16s have won this game. 15s have won this game. So I would think that the players are aware that this isn't an impossible hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, it's mindset. I've been on the other side of that coin. I was at Florida. We won back-to-back national championships. We played for three of them while I was there as an assistant. So I knew how it was to be on the other end, to be the number one seed and play number 16. The mentality of your guys, no matter what you tell them, they still look down there and see a team that's, not somebody you've been playing at on a nightly basis. Coaches worry to death. Players just sometimes go out and say, hey, we got it. So, I think once you've seen it done, it's obviously a different level. It's kind of like first guy ran the four-minute mile. After that guy ran the four-minute mile, there's like 50 other people did it the next week. So it's just a mentality and breakthrough. I think in approaching what you do for 40 minutes.
Well, as you said, you helped Billy build the dynasty that was the Gators, but also you were a winner at Marshall, a winner at UCF, and you did something now that no one's ever done at Stetson. Donnie Jones, the head coach, the Hatters, A-Sun champs, they're going dancing. They find out who, where, and when on Sunday. Coach, congratulations again. Thanks so much for your time. Try to save your voice, and best of luck next week.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Donnie Jones, one of the good guys. Dayton, if they go there, Brett Comer is one of his assistants. He was an assistant at Dayton before joining Donnie. And also, Mark, you mentioned the 16 seeds, 15 seeds. Comer, the point guard at FGCU when they were a 15 and went to the Sweet 16. So, you know, they little Dayton experience on the staff and also some tournament experience as a 15-16 on staff.
Hey, good for them to get into the tournament, to do something they've never done before, that's got to have a huge spark on campus. It's got to do wonders for their basketball program. So congratulations to Stetson.
They were down 10 in the semis of the A-Sun with 4.5 minutes to play at home and outscored Jacksonville 21-10. And that Swenson kid that he talked about, he hit 4 threes down the stretch, including the game winner with 4 seconds to go. They won by one. Then, as you mentioned, they held off Austin Peay by 3 with Jalen Blackman scoring 43. Thank you very much. As they say, Mark, as the kids say, Mark, he's a bucket.
He is, and if a 16 is going to be a 1, you need a bucket. Let's go Hatters.
And it's ironic. I see, you know, on Shelby's, he has them lined up against Houston, who they've already played. Houston will think that they're just going to walk through that game.
I've seen Houston. I've also seen Tennessee. Like, early in the week, they were in a play-in.
Right, but now the Wagner beating Merrimack.
Right. And so
and
now
that Longwood school that won.
Yes, and it looks as if Stetson is like the first 16 not in the play-in. So I've seen Houston. I've seen Tennessee a lot in these brackets. Tennessee or Carolina, who's ever that fourth one seed, that's who I've seen as an opponent for Stetson.
You know, it's funny, we talk about bid stealers and how it affects teams on the bubble. It's also interesting to see how the bid stealers affect the 16 seed play-in games.
Totally.
Because it matters nowadays. Now that 16s have actually, it's happened. There's precedent for that happening, so it matters.
All right, if you're going to lose by 25 to a one seed, all right, would you rather get your win in Dayton first?
Yes.
Or would you rather just go straight to the main draw?
Get my win in Dayton.
Absolutely.
Get a dub.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it'd be good for state. It's exposure. It's a few million people. More NCAA tournament experience. So hats off to the Hatters of Stetson.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us, Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on, wait for it, X.
Nice work, David.
Unless you just want me to say Twix, because you liked what we did with it. You know, the whole Twitter/X thing. Can't believe it hasn't caught on.
One texter doesn't like it, David. That's all I know. I don't know how really? Many like it. I know that one doesn't like it. I think saying Twix and then saying what it stands for is redundant.
That's true. That's true. That's actually, you know, it's accurate. Don't know what to tell you.
And then we have another person who texts the show with all of his bets. Now, they've never lost one as far as I know.
Oh, okay. All of his winning bets.
But the fact of the matter is that this guy every morning is sending me his Korean Basketball League bets.
That's the guy I want to talk to that guy. I can get into that. That's great.
So if you're betting the KBL or the KHL, you may have a problem. 1-800-GAMBLER, sir. 1-800-GAMBLER. Friday, St. Patrick's Day.
Sunday.
Woo!
Did I say Friday?
You did.
That's today. Friday.
Sunday. So Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. I have a real dilemma. First off, I'm into St. Patrick's Day.
And
it's a thing with me. But I've gotten older. It's been a little less of a thing. Plus, quite frankly, moving to Florida, it's not as big a thing in Florida as it's been elsewhere that I've lived. So that's rubbed off on me. But I was ready. You know, now I've moved to Jacksonville and I've been complaining about my life and, you know, I'm lonely. And, you know, so Sunday was an opportunity for me to go out and, you know, meet people and do so while getting drunk. We're watching her granddaughter.
On St. Patrick's Day?
Thank you.
So that the daughter and son-in-law can go out and have fun on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
That's what young people are supposed to do. You're doing your grandparent duty.
I didn't sign up for this. Okay. Do you have to sign up for the whole, you know, I don't like the whole job description. I only like parts of it. I feel like when you're a grandparent now, it's like being a supervisor. You have to oversee the whole department. I don't want to oversee the whole department. I just want my little desk in the corner.
Let me ask you a question. Are you really the one responsible for watching the granddaughter? If you went and did what you want on St. Patrick's Day, would it affect the granddaughter one iota?
The granddaughter, probably not. It would affect the grandmother, though, and that's who I come home to.
Yeah, but the grandmother will be fine with the granddaughter all day.
She'll be fine, but come on, chasing a 2-year-old around? I mean, she's going to wear her out. And I'm going to come home going, hey, how was your Sunday? And she is going to look at me like, I am going to gut you like a fish.
Well, here's the thing about being a grandfather, David. You might not have loved the job description, but you didn't really apply for the job. I mean, it happened. I mean, you
right,
indirectly.
And that's why I don't want the whole job. I didn't apply for this job.
I didn't ask for this.
I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to chip in, but not all the time.
I think you should go out with the daughter and son-in-law.
I wasn't invited.
Don't care.
I could pull rank. That is true. I mean, goodness knows the son-in-law can't say no to me.
Exactly.
And I can pull rank on the daughter. I just don't know if the lock will be changed. Feeling grandma going to be unhappy. Unhappy. But I honestly, that's the other thing. I don't think we've said no yet. You know, we're still, this honeymoon has lasted now 2+ years being a grandparent. I look at my wife all the time and I go, we don't have to say yes. And she looks at me like, seriously?
David, as the parent of a 9-year-old here, whose mother lives about a mile away from me, my mom's said no.
Thank you. And we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Mom, I want to play golf Friday. I don't care. I'm playing cards.
Right. See, my wife's yet to say no. And therefore, since my wife is yet to say no, we have yet to say no.
They know who to ask.
They have
figured this out completely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think you should be allowed at least a 2-hour pass. I don't know about a 4-hour pass, but I think you should be allowed a 2-hour pass where the wife's got to watch the granddaughter and you get to go have a couple of beers.
So you think during nap, I can go out and tie one on?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll look into that.
How long is the nap?
In fact, do your normal out, 2 beers, the molten out, going out hard.
Right.
Two beers.
It's in about 40 minutes, though. I mean, boom, boom.
And grab a 6-pack of Harp for the ride home.
There
and then
go.
come in with the granddaughter and say, hey!
Sit down and hand her one. Okay, unopened, obviously, but hand her one and go, repeat after me, beer.
In fact, put that harp in her hand, take a picture, and send it to the daughter.
Say, totally.
I'm
exactly
training her well.
Yep. I want them coming back at 6 o'clock, picking her up, and go, hey, mommy, grandpa had a beer.
But in honor of St. Patrick's Day, we ask a very simple question today. Do you like Guinness? That's our poll question today.
Actually, I don't.
What is it about Guinness you don't like? Because there's a couple reasons, there's a couple avenues you can take.
Too bitter for me. I like Harp.
Okay.
You know.
Guinness is my wife's beer of choice. That's what she orders. If she'll get a dark beer, if we go to a microbrew, she'll get whatever they're making. But if we're out anywhere, it's a Guinness.
Is that how she curls her hair there? You know, it's flat during the week, and on the weekends, a couple Guinness, and then it curls up?
Boy, that'd be nice.
Sorry.
You asked.
Didn't mean to get you daydreaming and run the car off the road there.
Did I say that on the air?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you did.
Damn. Yeah. And she's sitting in the parking lot right now with my daughter because she's dropping her off because I've got my own babysitting duties for the rest of the show.
Because you can't say no.
You're damn right I can't say no. Yesterday's poll question was about Pringles and quarterbacks.
Right.
If yesterday was National Potato Chip Day, and I know Pringles are potato crisps, I don't want to hear it. Which current starting NFL quarterback would be the Pringles of the NFL? Kirk Cousins got 33% of the vote.
Yeah, baby.
Dak got 30%, Brock got 23%, and Tua got the rest.
Kirk made the most sense. I love Kirk. I'm a Spartan. I love Kirk. That was the right answer.
All right. It's that time.
Our Molly Maid play of the day. Trent, what do you have for us?
Quarterfinals of the A-10 yesterday. We got double overtime and an upset. In the wise words of Rick James, give it to me, baby. Rick James from New York. So we'll go to St. Bonaventure versus Loyola Chicago. Here's a big-time shot from a big-time player in the first overtime.
Knocked away by Rubin. And the ball back. Banks is open for three. Nailed it! Bonnie's lead by two inside of 30 seconds left. Timeout Loyola.
Loyola would send it to a second overtime. I just like that call the best. There were a lot of, you know, plays to choose from. But Daryl Banks the three with some onions, as Bill Raftery would say. Obviously, Bonnie's moving on. They will take on Duquesne tomorrow in the quarterfinal of the A-10. And there's your semis. Molly Maid play of the day.
No, it'll be in the semis. Winner, I think, goes to the finals.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Semifinals. My bad.
Duquesne, yeah. Chance to steal a bid. Somebody stealing a bid out of the A-10.
If you're babysitting this weekend and need to clean your house, call Molly Maid. 239-774-5839. That's 239-774-5839.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes until Pat Kerwin joins us. 1 hour from now, we're going to have a first-time guest, Bracket Dom. He's a bracketologist with bracketometry.com. He's Bracket Dom. He's got energy, all right? And he's really good, actually. His record has been phenomenal, and we've never had him on the show. We got him. And so an hour from now, we'll talk about the results of yesterday and who played themselves in, who played themselves out, who still has to win today to get in to the madness. I may be talking myself into this. I think it's going to be a great tournament. I think it's going to be the perfect tournament.
Well, and that's the key word, David. It really is, because great tournament means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. To you and I, a great tournament means upsets on day one and day two of the tournament.
Like, I wasn't working with you guys, but I'm sure you also loved the Final Four last year because it wasn't a bunch of blue bloods, or no?
Well, we Miami liked it.
Miami and FAU, yeah.
We liked it.
Good for the sport.
No.
Not good for the sport.
Terrible for the sport.
Because it doesn't generate enough
Nobody
revenue.
Watches. One of the lowest watched Final Fours in the history of the Final Four.
Okay.
What you need for a perfect tournament is you need some upsets on day one and two. But by the first weekend, you need to make sure that Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina,
Kansas
move on.
Throw UConn into the mix. Houston's now been there for 5 years. You know, you need the big boys.
Believe it or not, Sparty getting to the second week is a good thing for the tournament. People now know who Izzo is.
Could Tennessee not choke in the tournament? That would be nice, Rick Barnes. Are you listening, Rick Barnes?
But it wouldn't matter for a perfect tournament. because Tennessee doesn't resonate.
No, but they are the best team in the SEC in theory. And for a perfect tournament, you want the best teams to advance.
So how much pressure is on Purdue?
A ton.
Like the most ever, in my opinion. Never done anything. Never been to a Final Four. They've been the best team all year, or, you know, you could argue. Well,
and it's fair to haven't been to a Final Four.
Since 1980.
Right. Since, was it Joe Barry
Carroll? Joe Barry Carroll.
Yeah. So lost to Larry Brown and UCLA, I believe, in the semis.
Been to an Elite Eight, 2018. Lost to Virginia at the buzzer.
Well, Gene Cady also got to an Elite Eight. But also you could, I mean, this is where you'd pull Matt Painter aside and go, hey, just going to ask you a question. Do you think you're going to ever have another team better than this? I mean, two-time player of the year, the freshman guards have become sophomores. You added a key transfer who added a dimension that you didn't have, which is somebody who can wait for it, Mark, get you a bucket, put the ball on the floor, and get you a bucket when you need it. Experienced as a group, you've gone through the highs of winning the Big Ten, the lows of being upset in a 116. I mean, you got to wonder, Matt Painter could coach another 15 years at Purdue, and I hope he does, because he's a terrific coach. But is he ever going to have a team this good or better?
No. I think this. If they don't get it done this year, they never will. I don't know how you
guys
feel.
Well, no, that's the funny thing of the tournament. I mean, it was like, you know, this dates us, okay? But, you know, going back, you know, Georgia, when they had Dominique Wilkins, you know, didn't get it done. The year after Dominique goes to the NBA, they go to the Final Four. You know, there have been many examples of that. You know, Virginia, I think, went to the Final Four the year after Ralph Sampson graduated. They had him for 4 years. They went to one. He graduates, they go to one. I mean, that's the beauty of sports. You turn around, you go, so this is the team that did it? Holy blank. But on paper, Mark, I mean, is Purdue ever going to have a better team than one they have
right
now?
It certainly doesn't seem logical, because they've got, like you said, they've got the element of someone who can put the ball on the floor and score. They got Edie, the big man, and they've got two guards that can shoot threes.
And now they're experienced, coach. And they've been playing at a high level as a group for years now. And you would think, if not now, when? So that's what has to happen, Trent. You know, the years of Purdue getting upset in the tournament, it needs to end this year. They at least got to go to an Elite Eight. They got to be playing that game as a one, and who knows who they're playing in the Elite Eight. But, I mean, think about it. Between Tennessee or North Carolina, one of them is going to be a two. And imagine if you're Purdue and you get to an Elite Eight and you're staring at one of those. So imagine if you're staring at Carolina. Say Tennessee gets the last one and Carolina's the two. And you're Purdue. Congratulations, you're in the Elite Eight. You've got Carolina. thanks.
This is also such a big deal for the Big Ten, because they haven't had a champion since 2000, and this Purdue team is a wagon. I mean, they've rolled everyone all year for the most part, and if they choke again with a guy like Zach Edey, I mean, it's going to set the Big Ten back another 10 years.
No.
Come on. I mean, my lifetime, one national title.
Yeah, I got you, but set them back. How? Set them back. How does it set them back?
At some point, people are, especially now with the transfer portal and everything, people are going to wise up and stop going to Purdue. They're going to start going to the coasts.
No, they're not.
Or the
SEC. You know where they're going to go, Trent?
Where?
To the team that pays them the most money.
Fair.
Okay? In NIL, it's nice to have these type of thoughts that, oh, they're gonna leave and go somewhere where they play better basketball. But when Indiana can pull out their wallet and say, no, transfer.
That's a very good point.
That's all that matters.
With Purdue specifically, though, at what point are their boosters and the people who have that money going to be like, what are we doing here?
Oh, once again, it's why you could argue that some sort of cap, some sort of professionalism where they're employees, where we control costs. I mean, Nick Saban just testified before Congress he wanted some kind of competitive balance. Now, I'd call him on it. Really? You do? Okay. Do you want the NBA system, the NHL system, or the NFL system? Which one you want, coach? But you're right, Mark. And that's why it'll be interesting, because if the money is ever coming from the universities, think about it, Trent. Okay, any school in the Big Ten could become the number one team in the country in a sport. If the money's even, then why not Purdue? Why not Minnesota? Why not UCLA? How weird does that sound?
Why not Oregon?
Why not Oregon? Because when you think Big Ten, you think the Ducks.
Okay, so admittedly, I did completely forget. To your point, I completely forgot that those teams are joining the conference. I'm still not used to it. So that's going to help out. You're right.
The other thing you've forgotten is that Michigan just won the national championship. So the Big Ten won a football title, okay? Once again, basketball, this is cute. This is. For the next few years, this is cute. Maybe it'll start bothering them again by the end of the decade.
Outside of Indiana and Purdue, do you think there's a Big Ten school that cares more about basketball than football? You think there's one?
UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's good. You're right. But USC sure as heck doesn't.
No. It's UCLA, Purdue, and Indiana.
Most places they don't. I mean, Right. Heck, you could say the same thing in the SEC. Outside of Kentucky, name a school that you think in the SEC cares more about hoop than football. I think Kentucky's the only one. At Vandy, we don't even know if they care about athletics. I mean, I think they care about their baseball team more than they care about any other team on campus. So, but I think it's going to be a great tournament and the perfect tournament. I really do. I think we're going to have a lot of 11s, 12s, 13s win games. I really do. And then I think we're going to have the big boys at the end. We're not going to have San Diego State, Miami, and FAU. That's not going to happen 2 years in a row.
I think you're exactly right, because it's wide open, and yet, despite it being wide open, all the blue bloods have a chance to cut down the nets. Kansas, Duke, UConn, Kentucky.
Well, I'll tell you what. Kansas has to get healthy, and they have to get healthy quick.
Best thing that ever happened to them was losing to Cincinnati in the Big 12 tournament, which they kind of threw in the towel before the game ever started by not playing so many players who were injured. But sometimes, you know, I've watched it in hockey when I worked in the minors. Sometimes you had a short bench, and the guys just rise up and play this great game. And fortunately, I honestly mean that for Kansas. Fortunately, they laid down for Cincinnati, and they give themselves a week and a half to try to get healthy.
And they need it.
Because if you're Kansas, you're not in the business of winning Big Ten tournaments. Big 12 tournaments. You want to win national titles and Final Fours.
Not anymore. But we'll see what happens. It's madness. It's March. As we know by now, anything can happen. We've had 3-15s in the last 10 tournaments. Because 2020, we didn't have a tournament. We've had 3-15s make the Sweet 16 in the last 10 tournaments. And we've had 2-16s win. Think about what's happened in the last 10 years. 3-15s go to the Sweet 16. Hell, one of them went to the Elite Eight. And 2-16s have won. All stuff that had never happened before, it's all happened in the last 10 tournaments.
And we thought it would be harder for this to happen with the kids from these schools leaving and transferring.
So that's why I'll be surprised if we don't have upsets galore week one. Because that's been the norm. What isn't the norm is what happens week two. I mean, week two's been crazy. I mean, a 15 seed in the Elite Eight, FAU going to, you know, go San Diego State going to Final Fours, to national title games.
It's supposed to be two ones, a two, and maybe a three. That's how this thing's supposed to work.
Right.
Chalk. If I ask you guys to call your shot, do you think there's a team from, like, the say, the 1-3 line that you think is on upset alert game one? I mean, I know we don't have the bracket
yet. You got to see the draw. I will say this. I think Marquette.
Yes.
They lost a really good player late in the year. They're probably going to get a three seed, maybe a two. Probably a three. I think Marquette, you know, Creighton's a hit or miss team. You know, they're making their shots. They can go to the Final Four. They miss their shots. They can lose right away.
I mean, in Kansas, with all the injuries that they've had, Kansas is vulnerable.
Thing is, Kansas might be a four.
But admittedly, Marquette was the spirit of the question, because that's what I was thinking, David. So I'm glad you said that.
I will say, Mark, the team you and I know nothing about, and that's on us, because we've only had 4 months to do this research project. Iowa State.
I knew that's where you were going.
I mean, we still, both of us, it's like, man, how could I pick this team in the tournament? I don't know if I've seen them play a full game this year. And yet they're, what, sixth in the country?
Play tremendous defense. Tremendous defense.
The Big 12 is regarded as the best conference in the country, and they're the second, because, you know, Houston's in the Big 12 now. So they're the second best team in the best conference in the country. And how many of us have seen them play? So now I have to watch some of the Big 12 tournament the rest of the weekend.
And that wasn't on the bingo card.
No. And I got St. Patrick's Day.
And you got the babysitter.
Can you turn the TV on? Iowa State. That's stuff you hear a lot outside the state of Iowa, walking into sports bars going, can you put the Cyclones on?
Well, for what it's worth, they absolutely crushed Kansas State yesterday. And tonight, David, this might be a better time to start than ever, because they play Baylor tonight at 9:30 p.m. So it's a late one. Get the coffee going. But it's going to be a good game. Those are two high seeds in the tournament. Let's go.
It's a late one. It starts at 9:30.
How old does he think I am?
602.
Obviously. It's Miller and Moulton, not Miller and Moses.
Well,
okay?
You know, we got a double OT in St. Bonnie's last night. You know, we could get double OT. This could go for a couple hours.
Man, 9:30. Make sure you get your nap in and have your coffee.
Take a nap with a granddaughter.
Wow.
Miller and Moulton.
He's feeling it today, David.
Yeah, boy, is he ever. Pat Kerwin, he's always feeling it.